worked.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. You look fabulous.
Thanks. I might put in my headphones. I wonder if this will work.
I know. I always am like, is this going to work or is it just going to be like obnoxious?
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Perfect. Well, hi, guys.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah. This is great. So we are talking
about a couple of people to hop on.
Sure. So how you been?
Good. Good. Oh, I'm just like looking to see everybody hopping on. I see some familiar faces.
Good. I didn't see any.
I know. This is the reason why we have to hop on and get everybody on first.
Yeah. Hello, friends.
Oh. Hi, friends.
It's
working.
Is it warm?
All right.
Where you are?
No, it's cold and it's rainy and it feels very quarantine life.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. I wish it was like it is at your place, but
it's a very nice day out today. Sorry.
Oh. All right. Well, I think we got a good number of people here.
Cool. Perfect. So we're talking about Instagram today and all the things that go with Instagram. Yeah. But one of the biggest things that I think for us as wedding professionals is that we're different than like, mm-hmm. say, a fashion blogger or an interior blogger or whatever. So what are some ways that you have used Instagram to leverage your business, but specifically looking at like your business as a wedding business?
Yeah. So I think that especially today, we really wanted to talk to you guys about how we should be strategizing as event and wedding industry pros, because I think it's a little bit different. So the wedding and event industry definitely utilizes Instagram differently than other industries, and therefore our strategy has to be a bit more unique. So for so long, our industry's approach has been very similar to everyone else's. And today, what I want to do is really highlight how we can embrace that we are different and strategize in a way that is a bit more specific to our industry. So number one, a good majority of our following consists of potential clients and other industry pros, which makes posting to our accounts a little bit trickier. You know, it's not like, oh, what I'm wearing today, like post that, it looks great, you know, or, oh, this is what I'm making to eat today. We're really trying to showcase our work. We're trying to showcase our scope of events. We're trying to kind of really show our level of professionalism and our talents. But at the same time, we're trying to balance this with letting our followers get to know who we are and what our lifestyle is, kind of letting them in and getting to let them know a little bit more about who we are. So this means that often our posts and captions have to be carefully thought out and planned and approached from many perspectives and angles. And so the post and the caption needs to be professional, but then it needs to be relatable to garner engagement and conversion and conversation. But then it also needs to carefully sell ourselves. And oh, the photo also has to be really, 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 really pretty to catch your eye in the scroll, since there's so much content on Instagram these days. Mm-hmm. And then on top of all of that, it has to look really nice in your feed overall, because a cohesive aesthetic in our feeds showcase creative eyes and artistic ability. So as we can see, there's only a couple things that we have to do and a couple of things that we have to balance. And I think that that's what makes Instagram for event industry professionals feel a little bit more challenging. And we need to start kind of addressing these challenges and start strategizing in a way that we effectively combat these challenges. And once you seem like you're growing and you're following, you know, is really like beefing up, the kicker is this: because we are professionals and our accounts are very niche, And we tend to be of service during a very specific stage in a follower's life. So a milestone, like a wedding or an anniversary or a birthday, bridal shower, all these things. When the event that our followers has come and gone, they've planned it, they've designed it, and it's finished. Yeah. And if they are not our clients, they will oftentimes unfollow us afterwards because what our business is showcasing is no longer useful. Mm-hmm. And so now that's not everybody, but you know, a lot right. of my clients continue to follow me, and a lot of same people who are inspired by wedding industry accounts still continue to follow, but people who are following for inspiration for their own weddings or for their own events, they'll unfollow afterwards. And this tends to make growing our accounts that much more challenging for us overall.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think, like you said, just a few things.
Yeah. I think this is something that I have dealt with so much, is like trying to develop an Instagram feed and an Instagram, like even within my stories, of something where it's not so wedding-ish that people can stick around for a little while yeah. afterwards and not feel like, and just, you know, scroll by and be like, oh, it's just another wedding photo. So yeah, that's definitely something that I've thought
well,
through.
And I know you and I are going to chat about this in a little while, but yeah. definitely that's part of the balance that I was talking about. We have to show our work, we have to show our professionalism and our talents, and we have to use our Instagram in a way that's sort of like a portfolio. But then at the same time, we do have to infuse our personalities and our lifestyle yeah. and things outside of the industry in so that we can connect on a deeper level. And then also, like you said, like, keep people around for other things after those events have come and passed. And yes, maybe they will love to continue following for inspiration, but they'll also get little snippets of other things in our lives mm-hmm. that pertain to their own lives.
Yeah,
totally. And so today, I know you and I are going to be speaking to all the wedding industry pros who are watching, who are feeling like they're riding the Instagram struggle bus right now with their business accounts. And we want to talk to you guys about reframing your mind and leveling up your Instagram game to help you feel excited about your content and attract more targeted followers. Like, keyword here is targeted. We're going to talk a lot about this today. Mm-hmm. We're not going to focus so much on, can you just get the most followers ever? We want to look at targeted followers mm-hmm. Who will convert into clients and potentially refer you to future potential clients as well.
Yeah, definitely. So follower count. Not a thing? Kind of a thing?
Follower account. So I have a little unpopular opinion about it. I don't think follower account for us
yeah.
is that important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hear me out. I'm not saying that follower account isn't important at all. All I'm saying is that it's an important factor to an extent. Does your following convert to business? That's actually what's more important. So if you have followers who are not interested in buying from you, they're just there to watch.
Yeah.
As a business account and as a company who's using my Instagram for my business in many ways as a portfolio, I want my followers to convert because I'm spending so much time on there and I'm spending so much time showcasing our work that mm-hmm. it only makes sense that we would want those followers to be more of ideal clients and ideal people who would either be potentially buying from us or referring people who would be potentially buying from us.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a pretty good following too. Like, so even coming to, you know, to the table by saying that, by even saying like with a decent following, I still don't think that, you know, having however many thousands of followers you have means that you are a profitable business or that Instagram yeah. is working for you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we see that that like want for the number to be really big in like the fashion blogger setting because yeah. they're working with brands that want to yeah. know that they have a huge following that, you know, their brand is going to yeah. be shown to. So I think in that instance, yeah, it's gonna probably matter.
Yes.
But in ours is so different. So
I think that's exactly what I was trying to say too, is that I think, in the world of fashion and lifestyle, blogging and influencing, there's this, you'll see a lot of influencers that are in fashion and beauty. They'll have, like over 100,000 followers and they'll continue to grow. And remember that, to your point, they're looking from the perspective of they have very large brands who are sponsoring them that need to see that number of followers because they are more pitching to volume. They need a lot of people to be interested in the clothing that they're wearing, the makeup that they're wearing, and purchasing to make their sponsorship and their collaboration or their relationship profitable.
Yeah, totally.
So I think we're different and we have to remember that.
Yeah, definitely. I only have like 6,000 and some followers, and in 2018 I profited. So I mostly profit, or like the majority of my revenue comes from planners sending me clients. But Instagram in 2018 I made 36,000 just from people finding me on Instagram and reaching out to me.
That's
And
awesome.
then in 2019 I made about 38,000. Just from Instagram. So it does make you money.
Yes, no, it definitely does. And that's what we're talking about today is spending your time to focus on bringing in those targeted followers, those followers who could be ideal clients, or they could connect you with your ideal clients by showing them not only that wedding and event inspiration they want to see, but also connecting with them on a level where you're speaking to them about things about yourself that they also enjoy. An example of this is that I used to have this analytics. Some people might know it's called Forecard, but a while ago, Forecard actually used to show me what my clients, or not my clients, my followers all loved and all of the accounts that they followed. And I would say it said something like 89% of my clients followed Lauren Conrad. And that was like such an incredible,
It's a huge insight.
that's such a huge insight for me because I love Lauren Conrad. And I'm like, okay, I connect. And so I definitely felt as though, some of the content that I was sharing about my life, some of the things that Lauren Conrad was sharing on her account and some of the things that I was sharing on my account for behind the scenes about my life, I was telling, or I was learning that that was connecting with my followers because they really love her Instagram and they also were seeing very similar vibes from my behind the scenes with my Instagram. So which stuff like that is what kind of what we're talking about is kind of figuring out who our ideal clients are and kind of targeting them. And one of the things I wanted to kind of dive into or just share a little truth bomb is I love to pose this question. I do mentorships for clients and professionals who are looking for Instagram strategy. And the app, sorry, I just noticed a question. The app that I was talking about is called Forecard, Fohr is how you spell it. And you can sign up. So I just wanted to make sure to answer that question
I
before
just
I
signed up
moved
for it
on.
when you told me about it a couple days
It's
ago, and
great.
it's been super insightful. Like I think you mentioned something about like a high percentage of the people that follow you are married, right?
I know, which I'm
And
like,
that was mine
what?
too, which I was like, that's weird, but that's cool to know, I guess.
But that probably goes to show you that the majority of your followers, because you're offering other things, are sticking around after they get married,
Yeah,
which is
definitely.
great. And that's awesome. So good for you. But I love to pose the question to you guys, would you rather have 3,000 targeted Instagram followers and your following is filled with invested followers, ideal clients, and followers who are going to potentially refer your business to loved ones and their own clients? Or would you rather have 30,000 followers who follow you for inspiration and free advice, providing you with a very low conversion rate? They're just kind of what we call like lurking. They're not really engaging. They're just kind of watching, seeing what's happening. And once they feel like they've gotten what they need, they just kind of take off. Which one do you want? I would want the 3,000. I would want the 3,000 followers who are targeted, who are converting, and who are not only buying into my services, but they also are connecting with me. And they're feeling a lot of connection from not only me sharing my work, but then also me sharing myself behind my scene or behind the scenes, jumping into Instagram stories, or sharing some kind of behind the scenes post. So kind of just think about that, guys, as we're chatting about this. Would you rather have that 3,000 or would you have that 30,000 as your target and as your goal? And I would say you want the 3,000.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're saying about how follower count is not as important as targeted followers. You could have a lot of followers, but if you don't have enough targeted followers, your Instagram isn't really converting. It's not really bringing you business. And if you are on there as much as I am, it better be bringing you business. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
I would 100% agree with that.
But I think, Jamie, are you going to hop in and chat a little bit more about the right people, who the right people are?
So ideal client, we talk about this a lot in workshops or on podcasts or whatever. Ideal client is like this thing that's thrown around. And if you don't know who your ideal client is, you need to figure it out, because you're just floundering in a sea of people and trying to please all the people when you shouldn't be. You should be pleasing, 10 out of 100 or maybe even less than that, honestly, when it comes to weddings. So kind of like what you mentioned about Lauren Conrad and how like your followers tend to follow like her aesthetic and like her stuff and stuff like that. I look at, where do my couples shop? What are their interests? Where are they going on the weekends? Is my couple, there's a couple wedding photographers who cater to like the destination bride, the traveling bride, that type of person. That's not really my client. My client does travel, but it's not like it's not their number one thing in life. I don't post a ton of photos of like where I'm going or where I'm traveling. Like occasionally I'll throw it in there, but that's not one of my like top things that I talk about. Same with like, my bride is not the hipster bride. They are not like going to all the cool coffee shops and wearing like the high-waisted acid wash jeans. Though I do like those. I just don't post like pictures of
myself. I know. I have a pair. I like them.
Exactly. But it just doesn't really go with my brand, and it doesn't really speak to my ideal client. So just really niching down on what they or who they are, what they like. Financial background, I think, is a huge thing. If you're trying to get a luxury client, stop showing that you're shopping at the dollar store or what's that called? Not Zara, whatever. Just like cheap places to shop. Like, don't
Forever
show
21.
That. Forever 21. I was like, that's for something. That's fine if you shop there. That's totally fine. But if you're trying to attract a high-end luxury client who only shops designer, they're not going to be able to relate to you shopping at Forever 21. So just trying to find who that person is. And then I think hashtags are really important when you're looking, when you're trying to find that ideal client, when you've like got your feed figured out, you've got your Insta stories figured out, you know who your ideal client is, then finding the hashtags that they're following that they can connect with. I post a lot about interiors of my house. Mm-hmm. I post wedding photos, obviously. And then like occasionally I'll post some family photos, not as much with my kids because, like I touched on this before, a lot of my clients and my ideal customer, they don't have kids.
Right.
And everyone loves kids. Right. But mm-hmm. also, like if someone random person comes up to me and is like, look at a picture of my kid, I'm like, great.
Yeah.
And so awesome. Yeah, so I don't want to flood my Instagram with pictures of my kids. But anyways, if I am posting like a picture of my husband and I or something like that, I have different hashtags for each of those different categories. So that not only am I attracting my like overarching ideal client, which is the bride, you know, with all the different bullet points that I know about her, but also the people that will stick around for the interior photos. And then they'll get some wedding stuff thrown in. And then that way, they might have a best friend that's getting married in Arizona. And they're like, oh, I follow this girl on Instagram and I follow her interiors, but she's a wedding photographer in Arizona. And just that like cross pollination. I don't know if
Yeah.
that's a phrase,
I know. I was like
but
trying to
it'll
think of the
work.
word. But you do a good job, and this is what everyone should be taking away from this too, is you figure out who your ideal client is and what from your life coincides with what they are interested in. And then, you know, you obviously don't only create content for them. You do content for yourself. You share, you know, your lifestyle and your kids and your husband and everything, but you find those points where things coincide, where likes and interests coincide, and then you hone in on that on your Instagram account. And so you have found interiors, for example, in addition to your weddings, interiors are something that your ideal clients are actually really interested in, and they're probably also decorating a home at that time, or they're buying a new home. And so you're finding kind of these connection points, and you're really gearing your Instagram towards them in addition to, you know, sharing yourself. So I think it's a really good strategy, and I think that that's something that some of us miss. It's not just that you want to share about you personally, and stories are a really great way to do that, a really great way to show you behind the scenes. And I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but you not only want to share things from your life, but you want to share things that you know that you can relate to your ideal clients with. The people who you are speaking to, you want to be able to have these connection points, and you kind of want to figure out what those are. And I think you've done a really good job with that with your account, especially because I feel like I'm always going to your Instagram account to look at your interiors and be like,
Oh,
oh, that's so
thanks, friend.
beautiful. I want that mirror. I want that like pillow, or I want whatever. So
It's
I think
fun.
you brought up a really good point. And then the hashtags too, figuring out the ones that you know your ideal clients are actually really interested in. And guys, there is so there, what would you even say? There are like actual courses devoted to hashtags. There's so much philosophy about hashtags. So I think that figuring out the right hashtags for you, definitely we could talk about that all day, but I think figuring out the right ones for you and considering, you know, looking at some of the courses that are out there, they have like very easy, some of them are free, just to figure out what hashtags work best for you and for your ideal clients, and some trial and error, you
One
know.
thing real quick that I've noticed, so like you're saying about Lauren Conrad being like a mutual point of love, for your client is finding those places that your client is shopping at, that your client is interested in, those people that your client is interested in, and then seeing what they're hashtagging. You don't need to copy and paste their entire, you know, list that they have, but I think just even seeing like, okay, they're also, you know, this hashtag, whatever. So just looking at those different hashtags that other people that your ideal client are following are using as well.
I know shops, like a lot of times I will go to J. Crew tends to be one. I will like often find my clients interested in like Lauren Conrad and all them, but like and even using some of their own hashtags when you have content that applies, like if that hashtag applies to it, like Lauren Conrad has her own. So sometimes when I'm showing behind the scenes, I include that, and it works really well because it's very similar content to, or it's content that she's and her team are looking for, when they want you to hashtag. So definitely being strategic, like you said, going to where your ideal clients are hanging out and figuring out what hashtags they're following, or maybe interested in, you know, is a good way to kind of beef up your hashtag game.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Content creation.
Yeah.
Do you think you should be focusing on creating a perfect, aesthetically pleasing feed, or what? What are your thoughts?
I know there's a lot of questions. This is a question I get asked a lot, and a lot of debate is going on about this. It's, do you have the perfectly cohesive, everything is perfect feed, or are you more focused on making each and every post filled with content that is really engaging? So it might not actually be very pretty at all. It actually could be like one of the worst photos, but it engages. So here's the truth. More and more studies are showing that the perfect feed is becoming less and less helpful, and engaging posts are more and more helpful and are showing up more in Explore, and people are seeing those posts much more. So things like, I'm just going to throw out some examples. I'm sure you've seen there have been posts of like moms in grocery stores like crying because they're having the worst day ever, and their child's having a tantrum and they can't leave the grocery store. You'll see somebody showing their home like complete disarray, just being like, there's the one corner of my home that looks great, and then this is what the rest of it looks like. We're seeing people really engaging more on those posts, and therefore those posts going viral or those posts becoming much more shared, because people are connecting and feeling such a deep personal connection to the people who are sharing these posts. So that being said, I think that our industry is in an oddly difficult position because we basically have to do both. We have to, yay! We have to basically be engaging, and we have to show what it's like behind the scenes and how it's not all perfect. But then at the same time, we have to show you how beautiful our events are, how incredibly they turn out, all the beautiful details, all of the gorgeous things. You have to kind of balance. People come to our Instagram accounts to utilize it as a portfolio as
Yeah,
well. And
definitely.
that's a big deal. So when you are creating a feed as a portfolio, not just documenting daily life, there is a level of perfectionism that is kind of expected. So basically, when you're using your feed as a portfolio, and I think this is kind of the crux of the issue, is we have to be showcasing our work, and it has to be aesthetically pleasing and pleasing to the eye because we're trying to show how we design weddings, how we photograph weddings, how we design for weddings, how we incorporate elements into weddings, things that we provide. So we really want to utilize our Instagram feed as a portfolio, and therefore it does need to be pretty. But then our captions need to really relate, and our stories need to be really engaging. And we have to throw in posts here or there that maybe aren't as pretty, but like they work with the coloring.
Yeah, seriously.
So it's a bit of a it's a bit of a game. For
Can I just ask
creating,
a quick question about that? So you as a planner, so I'm a photographer, you're a planner. If you are looking for new, talent or whatever to work with on your client's wedding day, whether that be a photographer, a videographer, a florist, a calligrapher, whatever, are you going to their Instagram page? Are you looking at their Instagram? Are you looking at their website more? And then as far as like Instagram goes, are you, if they have a curated feed that looks beautiful, are you saying like, okay, now I'll go to their website, or like what's your process with that as a
So
planner?
I usually go to Instagram first, and but I'm looking at it through a separate lens. I'm looking to see, let's take a stationer, for example. When I go to a stationer's Instagram, I want to see, I'm not really looking at it like, oh, is every single square beautiful? Because I'm coming from it from a much more like, can I utilize their work in one of my weddings? So I'm looking for printing methods. Are they showcasing that they do letterpress? Do they do mostly deckled edge paper versus, cotton with straight edges? Do they have calligraphy options? What is their semi-collect or semi-custom collection looking like? I'm looking a little bit more specifically at each photo and pulling away what they do and what they have to offer. And then I'll go to their website and look deeper and dive deeper into their process and their creative abilities and their turnaround times and all those things. So I use them very much hand in hand, Instagram account and website. And the same thing for photography. Photography, I will say though, I do, when I go to a photographer's Instagram account, knowing what I know about a client or my clients, I am going to your Instagram account and I am seeing, okay, what is their style like that hits me in the face as soon as I open up their account? So if I go to yours, Jamie, I'm like, oh my goodness, beautiful, light and airy. Does she do film? That's the first thing that like is coming to my head because you're the dreaminess of your photos. I'm like, this is perfect. Like I have, you know, this client, this client, this client who would love to work with Jamie and would love her style. Like, let me go to her website. Let me connect with her, et cetera. So that's kind of for photography. Okay. You guys have it kind of a little bit more right off the bat. When I look at your account, I am looking to see what your aesthetic is. But then I have clients who are looking for dark and moody and they want something a little bit more warm or something a little bit more saturated and some deeper shadows. So then I, of course, am looking for them and I'm reaching out to them with those clients in mind.
Okay. Just got a question. Do you ever weigh personality or how likely you are to get along with a vendor?
I try not to judge a book by its cover. So with Instagram, I try not to, I try not to just look at a feed and try and gather from posts. I will watch stories just to see how the person is reacting and more or less when I'm doing that, I'm actually looking to see for myself, like how to approach them, you know, like how to write an email to them or how to connect with them. Like they might be somebody who's like slide into my DMs and they, or it might be somebody else who's like, do not DM me. I won't see it. Email me. So I tend to use Instagram more for work, but then personality wise, I'm looking at how to connect with that person. So it's a good question. I do definitely look at how you are in your stories and kind of like what you say about yourself to help me connect with you. But I wouldn't say that I'm looking for personality and whether or not I'm interested in that vendor's work or not.
Yeah. Before we got on this tangent, you were talking about stories. I think we were starting to talk about stories. And yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So I was saying that basically we have this challenge of we kind of have to have the perfect feed and then we also have to be engaging. So that question of do you need a perfect cohesive feed or do you need to be engaging for us is kind of like doesn't apply because we have to be both.
Yeah.
So the good news is that stories has been making this easier for professionals. But what we need to remember is that for all of my, this is so funny. I don't know what it is about our industry. A lot of us do not like to get on stories. It's like, I didn't like it in the beginning, but now I'm just recognizing that we have to do it because it's how we are connecting. But basically what I will say is that if you can let your feed be your portfolio and then let your stories be the real time, that is going to give you a very engaging Instagram account and is going to make your Instagram strategy work for you. Everyone needs to be using stories. Everybody needs to be getting in front of that camera every day. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. I know we need to probably back up and go back to curating the feed, but the way that we balance this perfect feed and engaging is that we use our feed primarily for our portfolio, and then we use our stories for connection and engagement.
Yeah, definitely. When I use my stories, I do a lot of behind the scenes, whether that's like me actually at a wedding, you know, shooting a wedding or styling a flat lay or whatever it is, or even just like doing interiors, like painting a wall in my house.
I also try to infuse a lot of humor into it because,
yeah,
for one, our world kind of sucks right now. So it's nice
yeah.
to have something to laugh about. And I think every person in the world, whether, you know, you make $3 a year or you're a millionaire or, you know, whatever like spectrum you want to put it on, everyone enjoys laughing. So I just try to add a lot of humor into that. One thing that I've noticed a lot from vendors, and it always makes me laugh, because it's such an easy thing, especially if you're trying to grow your Instagram and trying to develop more of, like a targeted following on Instagram, is reposting things that people tag you in. It's
yes!
so easy. And I will do it, and I will do it for, you know, whatever, like if it's a florist, calligrapher, invitation designer or something. And maybe they have a method to the madness that they just don't want to repost that day. But I just think it's so easy. It adds something to your Insta stories that literally all you have to do is do one click. And then, you know, it just gets more eyes on you. So
yes,
do that, people.
Big driver of traffic. I know I try to repost as many stories as I can. I mean, obviously there are going to be days that you miss it when you're working, but definitely reposting, spreading the love, and then yes, like sharing each other's, because there's a good chance that those followers on the account that shared your work, they also are potentially clients that could be coming over to your account and following you. And so kind of like spreading that love and sharing that wealth.
Definitely.
That's an opportunity missed if you're not basically echoing what you're saying.
Yeah. And another thing that I do is everyone's voice wants to be heard. Everyone wants to have a say. Everyone wants to have, you know, their opinion validated, whatever. So one way that you can easily do that is just through polls, and then also just through like questions. I do this a lot when I go shopping, or when I used to go shopping, before the quarantine, or even when I'm shopping online or something like that. And I'll post like, should I get this dress or should I get this dress? And it's simple, but it creates engagement. And people enjoy that. Like, I think I'm one of the only people that usually skips over polls, but I'm just a weird person. So, but the majority of humans, I think, enjoy voting on those things.
I know. I love polls. And I also love questions, like ones that are really relatable, because they just let me have conversations with people that I admire in our industry or for outside of our industry. And I just love it as kind of this open line of communication. And I love polls for market research. If we are
same,
I like literally make everybody laugh, because whenever I do like a podcast episode, if I do one with like Renee from Urban Safari, she has a podcast called The Confetti Hour, or I mean, like, I am always like, let's poll everyone on Instagram first and see what we should talk about. And she's like, but we know like what we think everybody wants. I'm like, I know, but let's just poll them and see, or let's just give them the opportunity to tell us, you know, what maybe they want to hear. Because sometimes I'll get really great, you know, or not sometimes, most of the time I'll get really great feedback, and then I'll connect on a deeper level. I've definitely found that, you guys, like right now during this quarantine time, if you are in the wedding and event industry, you should be asking brides and grooms questions, or you should be polling them. They are looking for connection. They're looking to feel better. They're looking to feel supported. This is a really great time to engage with those people. Like, these are potential clients. These are people that are needing your services, or they are needing your support. And this is a great time to really be bumping up your engagement through polls and questions and interactive stories, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so this is one thing that I just wanted to touch on as far as stories go too. Using your highlights. I think, like we've kind of mentioned before, that your feed and your page on Instagram is sometimes acts as your portfolio. It sometimes acts as your first touch point for brides or whoever is coming to your page. And a lot of times people will not make that. Like a lot of times I'll get inquiries on Instagram and they'll say like, "Hey, I'm getting married on such and such date. Do you have that date available?" And I always say, "Can you go to my website and, you know, fill out the form so I have all the information there and I can just keep it all in one place." But oftentimes people don't even go to your website. So I think having everything that you already have on your website on your Instagram, in your highlights, I think is a great idea. Like, for example, having an about me page or an about me highlight. So just explaining like a little bit about you, a little bit about your style, how you work with couples, different things like that is really helpful then for them to find you on Instagram. Like scroll down a million times and then go to the top and then go to your website and then go to your about me. Why not just have it all there so they can just, you know, slide through and find me about me or whatever. Also, I try and keep a couple of my favorite weddings in the highlights tabs, just so people can see like this is not a full wedding, obviously, but like a curated gallery of a wedding, so they can get a little bit better of a feel for what my photography looks like throughout the wedding day. And then also just adding in different things that your ideal client likes. So like for mine, interiors. I have a specific highlight that just shows pictures on my house. And I did have one, I just deleted it. I did have one for Pure Barre. I used to shoot for Pure Barre, and for those who don't know, it's just it's a franchise that's like an exercise company. But I have done barre since I was like 20. And so I love it, and I kept that on there because one of the things that I know about my ideal client is that they're really into exercising, whether that's like cycling or barre or yoga, whatever. And so I had that one on there, but then I ended up just having too many highlights, and so I deleted it. But anyways.
I love the idea of about me. I wrote down that as a note because I need to do that. I have like the weddings and everything, but I didn't really think about the idea of doing an about me. So I'm relaunching my website. So maybe I'll do that like in conjunction because that'll work out. But that's a really good point. And then for everyone out there who's also starting to use stories, another really something that works really well for me that I wish more people did as well for their own businesses is if you, I think it's tagging venues is a really big thing in our industry. I know it
Like
sounds really simple.
in the photo or
In
in the
both
location. Okay.
location, both. So in the photo and the geotagging. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people who are looking for wedding professionals will start at their
The
like
venue.
ideal venue. And then they'll kind of work their way out if they're getting married in a venue. Now, I have, because I do a lot of private estate intended weddings, I actually have a highlight that is showing the behind the scenes of me doing private estate intended weddings
Oh,
myself,
perfect.
like in the week before the wedding. Like we're starting usually on like the Monday or the Tuesday before the Saturday wedding. And we're, you know, doing every single day there is a new part of install. But I also, anytime I tour a venue or anytime I have weddings at a particular venue that my clients really love and visit, I always share those venue site tours or those weddings to one highlight. So for Rosecliff Mansion, I'll do Rosecliff Mansion and I'll have highlights for Rosecliff Mansion showcasing weddings there. If I do, let's say I do a whole day of venue tours all over Cape Cod, and I go to Witchmere, I go to Wapquasit, I go to Chatham Bars Inn, I go to the Winslow Estate, and the list goes on. I will take videos throughout the entire time that I'm doing my venue site visits, and then later on, I don't do it then because we're working with our clients, but later on, I will digest everything and I will upload them, and it becomes a little hub for future clients to come and look and see those venues and kind of know from a planner's perspective what we can do in those spaces and all that. So I find that that works really, really nicely for your highlights to showcase and connect with potential clients, you know, that you work at these venues and that you have the ability to create a really beautiful wedding in that space.
Yeah. Speaking of that, one of my friends just commented, and she actually shot that wedding, Sarah and Chris's wedding that we did at the state room.
Yeah, like,
And she just told me that she actually booked two weddings at the state room for next year, I believe, because of the photos that she had taken there, and then she had tagged the stateroom. And so it's 100% works to make sure that you're tagging where you're going, and not just like, I have to do this sometimes because like you're saying, like when you shoot at a private estate or something, just tagging the town or the city that it's in, but try to tag the specific venue, because city tags, if you go on there, they're very trashy. They're very like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have tagged that one. So try to make sure that you tag like the venue specifically.
I 100% agree with you. And like you said, if you're doing a tented wedding, you know, tag the town and then tag vendors in your stories and put them in your highlights. You want to be working with those people again. They tend to have your potential ideal clients that are kind of crossing over. So definitely, I think highlights is something that gets underutilized, kind of like you were saying, and we definitely should be utilizing them as industry professionals. It's something that I think for the wedding and event industry is very, very helpful, specifically for us, where we have people coming to our account to look at weddings that we've done at specific places or learn more about us as it pertains to their wedding.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get back to the feed.
Yes.
We talked about stories. You are a master at curating your feed. I love your feed. but one question that I had is, it's easy for me to have a consistency in my feed, or any photographer, because we're shooting the images. So
I envy you guys.
I know. I'm so sorry. If you're a photographer and your feed isn't consistent because of like the lighting, da 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 da, that's on you. so figure that out. But for you, how do you mesh so many different photographers' styles, to still have such a cohesive feed?
This is a really good question, because I get this a lot. And in fact, when I polled everybody, see guys, I do lots of marketing.
You did it.
So when Jamie and I chatted about like the Instagram live session, talking about Instagram strategy, I had polled everybody and asked like, what do you guys want to hear from us in this particular topic? And this was like one of the main questions too. So I'm excited to get to answer it. So yes, basically as a wedding planner, I have this very unique, and this is, if you're not a photographer, a videographer, definitely have this happen for you as well, and this is typically an issue, is that you get all these professional photos from different photographers, and then you have your own photos that you're taking, and you're trying to get them all to work together in your feed. Everyone has different styles, even my light and airy photographers, like Jamie, I would put you in that category. Okay, you guys are all different. Like, I can spot a Jamie photo versus a Lauren photo versus a Jessa photo versus a Beth photo versus a Carly photo. Like, I can spot the difference. And if you put them all up in my Instagram, you could, if you were looking, could also see the difference.
Yeah.
So what I try to do with this is, it's very masterful game on Planoly. but what I try to do first is, and I did this a long time ago, and I just always keep up with it, is I've chosen a color palette for my business and my brand that works for me. It works very well with the aesthetic that I tend to bring to the table. And then it also works for attracting my clients or my ideal clients. My colors are, well, my feed is typically pretty light and airy, and I focus on whites, blushes, nudes, pale soft blue, which is one of my brand colors, cement gray, and green, like greenery, like natural greenery too.
Yeah.
So, and as a planner, kind of the beauty of my weddings is that they're not all exactly the same and each client has their own unique, gorgeous vision. So when a lot of my weddings kind of fall into this color palette, or not, they don't all fall into it, but they have elements of their day that have these colors. A lot of times because we're by the ocean, the blue or the sky, I get immediately. I have no problem with that. Tents, white tents, you know, like I get that. White dresses, white florals. So there are certain things that I can easily get those colors from. The blushes and, you know, the gray depends on what the wedding is like. But what I try to do is I try to, with all of my photographers and all of their images, I go through my galleries. Obviously on my website, I use pretty full, well-rounded galleries from all of my photographers from my weddings. You know, I share every photo that I pretty much love. I probably share too many of them, to be honest, in my portfolio on my website. But when I'm looking specifically for my Instagram, I actually go through and I select somewhere around like 10 to 12 photos from that wedding that I know are going to fit into my Instagram feed. And I do that with all of my weddings. So pretty much every single wedding that I have has a folder that has 10 to 12 photos from the wedding that I know will work in my feed. Some weddings I get even more. Like I once had a bride whose color palette was pale blue, blush, nude, cement gray, green, and white. And I was like, okay.
Perfect.
Like every single photo works. It was a light and airy photographer. It was great. But I find that doing this really helps to make it a little bit more foolproof. And then I actually have those folders ready to go into the app that I use called Planoly. And so what I do is typically I'm going to skip over. I'm going to come back to something that I want to talk about. I want to talk about dark and moody and bold and saturated like color palettes, because I do showcase those on my Instagram and I have a strategy for it. But I'm going to kind of chat about how I approach the color palette, you know, typically on my Instagram feed. And that is I treat my Instagram like it's a contact sheet. So I know like not everybody knows what a contact sheet is, but basically it's each photo like kind of in rows and columns. And I usually look at 9 photos at a time because in my feed, I usually am looking at 9 squares at a time. Yeah. And what I like to do is I like to take those 9 squares and I like to play around with how the colors flow in the 9 squares. So I always want a little bit of each and every color somehow carried out throughout those squares. And typically what I'll do is when I get a new wedding or when I have a wedding that I want to showcase, I'll pull some of those images from those folders, upload them. Usually like 3 or, you know, like of new weddings or new photos that I want to share. I'll actually go back to photos that I know perform really well. I have a folder of photos that perform really well. People engage with them. They stop people from scrolling. They really love them. They fall in my color palette. I'll pull those. I have a lot of them. Like you just, every single time you guys have a photo that works, just save it into a folder, guys, because then you'll always have it ready. And I pull a few images from there and I put those into my 9 squares. And then usually I'll have a couple of photos that I take, you know, real time that week or behind the scenes or something that I will apply presets to. And something I love to do is I love to buy presets. I'm a crazy like hoarder of presets. But the reason why is because I'm always trying to find ones that work with my photographers and their style. So I have a few that were developed by specific photographers that work with each of my photographers who I tend to work with. So if, you know, if I know I have a couple of posts coming up from Jamie, I might use one of the presets that I know works really well with Jamie's photos for like the photo that I'm going to share of like my, I don't know, like my nails, like behind the scenes or something, or the kitchen or whatever I'm going to, or my shoes or whatever I'm going to post that's like kind of a behind the scenes. I might use that preset on that particular photo I'm going to upload so that it works with the photo that comes before and the photo that comes after. So it's kind of like a, it's a strategy.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Definitely a strategy. And Planoly is like my saving grace, but I find that the folder method works really, really well. Creating folders of those photos that you know from your weddings, from your events, from different photographers are going to work in your feed. Having folder that has photos that perform really well on your Instagram that, you know, you can go and look at your insights and see which photos perform really, really well. And you can keep those kind of always at the ready so that you can add those in at any time. And then having those presets that I buy all the time, but yeah. Basically the presets, I find veil presets. I don't know if you know those, Jamie.
Mm-mm, no.
Veil presets are made to look very similar to like a film photo. Perfect. So mm-hmm. Veil, I have Veil. I have Lauren Fair's presets.
Yeah, hers are great.
Which work really nicely for like Lauren and Jess's photos.
Yeah.
Carly from Carly and Michelle Photography, she has presets.
Oh, cool.
So I have some of hers for when I do, when I work with her. Mm-hmm. I tend to use Veil with yours. And then I have Katie Mary's too, which tends yes. to work well with yours and Beth LaDuca's style. So I use those a lot and I swap them out a lot to make them
yeah.
work, you know, for my photos to keep it cohesive. I never try to look at my entire Instagram as just one continuous, you have to look at them in sets of 9 squares
yes.
so that you mm-hmm. can really keep your eye on the prize and focus so that you're not, you would drive yourself crazy if you tried to make oh. every single photo yes. for all of time work with the photos that start in the beginning. Like you see Instagrams more. So
yeah,
it's try to focus on 9 photos and not overwhelm yourself and use something like Planoly to really let you play around and do this ahead of time too. Like I spend
yes.
days like before mm-hmm. I actually post photos working on my feed and like getting it to look the way that I want it to look moving forward. I usually schedule about 2 weeks out is what
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, that's what I do. I do a very similar thing and I would agree that any vendors should be doing like a similar thing. As soon as you get that gallery from your photographer for, you know, the wedding or whatever, grab 10 to 20 photos, download them,
yep.
put them in a file, know that they're there. I use Plan, PLANN, which I'm sure mm-hmm. is very similar. It's just like a visual
same
planning
thing.
And what I do is same thing. I finish editing a wedding. I go through, find my favorite images, and then I dumb them down even more. And then I add those to the plan. And then they're like all up at the top. And then when I'm ready to do my like next, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, I'll start pulling them down and pushing them in where I think that they should go. So very yep. similar process.
Same exact thing. I think it's awesome for photographers. You guys have like, it's just so nice and easy to keep things cohesive.
Yeah.
For anybody, venues, stationers, floral designers, planners, designers, for rental companies, if you're working with multiple different photographers and their photos for all different styles of weddings, it's really kind of the best way to approach it is kind of with the folders and using an app like Planoly, and then getting yourself some presets that work really well with the photographers or the style that you're trying to make sure your feed exudes.
Yeah.
Definitely. So definitely play around with some presets. And when we say presets, guys, they're basically, if you guys don't know, they're like filters, but they need to be adjusted. So basically you can download presets in Lightroom, which is an app for your phone. You can apply the preset to a photo and then you can adjust it to get it to be, you know, just right. But that preset kind of gives you the baseline of how you want the photo to look. So if you want something light and airy, you apply a light and airy preset to it, and then you adjust for that specific photo, maybe the contrast or the shadows or the brightness, just to make sure it looks perfect. And then you download that and share that on your Instagram as the edited photo.
Yeah, perfect. One other thing that I was just going to say about where I think we're going to get cut off.
There's so much to talk about.
I know. Darn Instagram. They need to make these longer.
Sorry, guys. We're almost done.
Yeah, we are. Good job staying with. So
Yes.
yeah, one thing that I was just gonna say is that I think is really important, and it's pretty easy, is get headshots done and get them done multiple times a year. And don't, or it, okay, let me back up. Headshots, or just ask a photographer, which really, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I'm pretty sure we're all okay with taking pictures of a planner or a florist, like faking like they're putting a fork down, at the wedding that we're working together, or getting a shot of them, bringing the bride and groom in for like the first viewing of the reception. If they're not doing that, if your photographer isn't doing that, ask them. Just ask them. And if you're a photographer, do that. Just do it. It's nice. It's
I
kind, and it gives
know.
them stuff to
I
have.
love the photo. Jamie captured a photo of me like having a pep talk with the
Oh,
ring
the flower.
bearers
Yes,
and
I
flower
love that
girls
photo.
at one of our weddings, and it was just so cute because it was a really cute moment where they were like very like, okay, yes, we'll do what you say or whatnot. But it was just like, and it was such a great surprise, and I loved it. And it's one that I'm using like in the update to my website because it's such a great kind of in-action photo that,
Yeah.
you had a quick second to capture it. So I agree with you, guys. Photographers, take photos of your planners because they will definitely use them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so easy. And if you're, any other, I think you still should have like some headshots taken. And I think that they should be like a little bit more lifestyle. You're a picture of you, like, which I have these and I share these too. But a picture of me standing in front of a white wall smiling isn't going to get that much engagement as like a picture of me outside gardening. And, people are like, oh, she is a real person. She doesn't just stand in front of a white backdrop. But so like give, get some of both. And then one other thing that I was thinking about that I try to do when I'm curating my feed is think ahead on for what I want to sell. Think about different things that I'm going to be sharing. So like recently I just developed a flat lay course. It's only like a 3-part video series that I created during quarantine when I was like, wow, I got a lot of time. So I created this. But before I started pushing it out, I started sharing a lot more of my flat lays. And then also, one person that I always think of when I think of this is Kylie Jenner, with her lip line. That girl got fantastic lips and always had like these perfect lips way before she came out with like her lip kit. And so you just knew like once her lip kit came out, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So do that. Just drop in little hints if you're planning on selling something, if you're planning on putting out a course, if you're planning on, whatever, pivoting in your business, drop like little breadcrumbs for people to pick up. And then once you do the official sell, then people are like, oh yeah, that works.
I totally agree with you, and I think it's so smart to kind of think down the road like that. I think one of the things that we're kind of the crux of what we're basically saying and what the main point is that as event and wedding pros, our feeds are there's so much more psychology behind them. There's so much more strategizing. There's a lot of dynamic behind why we are posting. And what we are posting. And so it's important for us to there's all this talk about us making sure that our feeds are perfectly cohesive, but we also have to be thinking about what our brand and what our business needs and what we're sharing at that time to serve our business. And so I keep thinking about how much we have to do
I know.
with our Instagram. And so, it's kind of telling you all like we get it. We understand why it feels so hard. And we understand why it feels like, oh my God, I don't even want to open Instagram because I don't even want to think about it sometimes.
Same.
It's, like you'll go through periods where you're like, all right, I'm not even gonna touch it. But I think that the best way to approach it, and both you and I do it, is to approach it from a perspective we're speaking to a targeted person that we consider an ideal client. We have these connection points, and then we have this strategy of using an app that helps us play around with our photos, and we have
just kind of a process that works for us that helps us to create not only a cohesive feed, but also an engaging one. Mm-hmm. I think after we do this, I don't know, I feel like maybe I'll make like an infographic or I'll make something that goes, that shares the process that I, you know, do point by point, like, you know, step by step, mm-hmm. because I feel like it's definitely like, as I'm talking it through, I'm like, yeah, this has really developed over the years. Like, it really is a pretty, like, it's a pretty dynamic process when I think about it. Now I just do it and it just,
right. It's second nature.
It's second nature, but I mean, how many years has it taken me to get to this point? I'm thinking about it. I'm like, let me see. I started my Instagram in 2012.
So a while.
So it's been about 8 years. It's taken me about 8 years, everybody. So I might break down maybe because our process is very similar. Maybe I'll break it down. If that's helpful for you guys, like throw a little heart up or wave your hand or flat, or I don't know, and send an emoji through and let us know if that's helpful, because if we break it down and share it with you, it might seem a little bit less daunting as we're explaining it.
That, I think that's a really good idea, and I could definitely,
and I'll show you what a contact sheet looks like, because I know I've been saying contact sheet for kind of how you approach like your Instagram and how you share photos and figure them out in your feed. So we could share some, I'm sure you have some really great contact.
Yeah, definitely. We can, pages. We will work on that together, and
we'll upload something for you guys so that you have it. And then maybe we can link some of our favorite presets in there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Maybe we could do like a joint blog post.
Perfect.
Like we both like share them. For our audiences. That would be fun. Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Like thinking of things on the spot.
It's coming right to now. You.
It's coming. We'll do it.
All right. We're getting pretty close to the end. Any final thoughts that you want to speak on as far as like how to engage in posts? So we've talked a lot about like putting our posts out there, putting our stories out there. Anything that you want to speak to as far as like when people comment back, like how do we keep that conversation going?
Yeah, so I think you guys probably have heard this enough for me, but I'll say it again for everyone in the back. Stories now. So your posts, you obviously want to be sharing really beautiful photos and you want to try to engage in captions. We'll talk about that in a second, but stories are really where you need to be showing up. This is where you're showing yourself in real time. This is where you're relating to your followers. This is where you're connecting with them on a deeper level. This is where you're showing your work in action. If you're not using stories every single day, you're leaving a lot on the table. For everyone worried about how they look, because I get this a lot, there are one gajillion filters available.
Filters are amazing. I was actually hoping that there would be one on the live, and I was like, oh, dang it. Should have put more foundation on. Oh, darn it. Are you kidding me?
I think there is one.
You're right.
At the bottom.
You gotta be kidding me. Well, make this mug look a little bit
better. Everyone's like, oh, Jamie, there are. They're at the bottom.
clearly I don't do lives too often. Well, whatever. You guys have seen it, so.
You've seen them. But yeah, so basically there are a million filters out there that you can alter your appearance with. You can have eyelashes. You can change your skin tone. You can make it black and white. You can do whatever, whatever. You'll look like a model. Just don't even worry about it. Just brush your hair and show up. Okay. That's all you have to do. Throw a filter on, put on a t-shirt, something acceptable just to wear so that, you know, like you're not naked, and like, let people see you, let people see who you are, let people engage with you. Your feed, we already talked about this ad nauseum. Your feed is really a portfolio in many ways. It is where you're showing your work. Your stories need to be where you are engaging on a more personal level, and it needs to kind of be the place where you are showing more of yourself and you are connecting more with your followers and your potential clients. They want to see from you or see you. They want to hear from you. They want to engage with you and they want to have conversations. And the way that social media works today, there are just an overload of users on Instagram. And every single day that you are not showing up in your stories, your account is not being engaged with, basically. Like, the majority of your followers are not seeing you. So again, for the people in the back, if you aren't showing up in your stories every day, just one, even reposting, like we talked about earlier, yeah. Just share another post. You aren't being seen by your followers or the majority of them, and they're not engaging with you. So this is the place to show up. Yes, exactly. Because think of all the conversations that you start.
Yeah. We had kind of touched on this another time when we were talking. I've noticed that if I don't post, or if someone that I follows, actually, yeah, I guess it would be more pertaining to that. Someone that I follow, they don't post in their stories. They're like little bubble, you know, that's at the top, just keeps going down further the line because I didn't engage with it yesterday or the day before if they took a couple of days. And so it just goes down further and further. And then my engagement goes up with all these other posts that their bubble is further ahead. And so eventually that person just floats off into nothingness. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, I'm like, I haven't seen a post from so-and-so in a long time. And it probably has nothing to do with them, but might have something to do with, oh, they were off of Instagram for a week or whatever.
Exactly. And I know this probably sounds like a little bit crazy, but I think of like stories and Instagram lives as like guerrilla, like marketing almost. Like, you have your feed, everyone's scrolling, but then like you're showing up in, you know, you're in stories, you are doing a live, and you're almost like, I know this sounds terrible, but you're almost interrupting the scroll. You're almost interrupting just the regular pattern, and people are noticing you and people are going and checking you out and checking out your feed. So I feel like, I know I'm speaking about this so much in this, but I do feel like stories, we have to get over not utilizing them enough and really be making them a whole part of our Instagram strategy and really letting them be, I mean, they are, it is our voice, like let our voice be heard.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I feel like that's it. Should we do questions?
Yeah. Yes. Who has questions for us about,
I'm so bummed about the filter.
She's like, why didn't I put the filter on? I should have told you. I should have told you ahead of time that it was at the bottom.
I saw it and I don't know why. I just didn't think anything of it. Whatever. It's fine. Anyone have questions?
Yes. Does anyone have questions about whether curating your feed, questions about stories, questions about captions? Something that I do to be a little bit more engaging in captions is I tend to tell the story of the photo if there is one. So rather than just being like, oh, look at this really beautiful paper suite. I will say, oh, you know, this particular invitation suite we created with Fet Collection for Alex and Chris because Alex and Chris love this particular printing style. And so what we did is we did letterpress and then we used a bunch of their favorite catchphrases like plot twist and this and that to put their personalities into the stationery. I talk much more about why I'm sharing that photo, which I think can really help people know the story and engage more with that post.
Yeah. I think we had, questions? What type of topics do you recommend for stories? Anything that jumps out to you?
Everything. No, I don't know about you, Jamie, but I literally, if it's a wedding, I'm posting, I have either my assistants or myself just posting behind the scenes the entire time. Some of the really big moments, I love like the big moments of like a rose petal recessional or like the kiss or the reveal of the room. So that's on wedding days. That's what I do and set up. But I would say that for the majority of what I'm sharing, it's usually if I'm doing a blog post, sharing more about the blog post. I get a lot of questions about like my makeup. So
I've noticed that. I talk a lot about makeup and skincare. I tend to, if I find something that I really love that I think that the people who follow me will really love, I'll share it. I mean, like down to like a Christmas cookie recipe that I totally think that everybody loves. Like I don't, like nothing is off the table. I obviously don't share some very private parts of our lives, but that's just because like everybody has to have something that's, you know, sacred. But I'm pretty much an open book. I'll share like what smoothie I'm drinking. Like, I don't know.
I think it's again just finding your ideal client and then listing out everything that they're interested in. And then if they're, you know, it's a Tuesday and your client is interested in baking, why don't you just pop your phone up and be like, hey, I'm making cookies today, or you know, or show a cooking fail or whatever. So I think you can still like fall underneath the like what your ideal client likes, but I think you can show the messy side of that too.
That's exactly it. I think you can really kind of throw the rule book out with the stories and really just let yourself be yourself in those stories and really shine a light on what your life is like. It's a place where you don't have to be so curated. So you can kind of just it don't overthink it. Just share, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with, you know. And travel is where I share a lot of travel in my stories. That's where I tend to show travel rather than in my feed, because I think that travel for me is something that, you know, I can engage a little bit more at in real time. So if I'm somewhere and I show that I'm there, somebody can message me and say, oh my goodness, we're going there. Where is that? Like, did you like it? It's kind of a nice way for me to chat a little bit more. You know, I did that in Positano when we went for our honeymoon, and my husband was like, can you stop? I was like, oh, so many people are going to Positano soon and they're all asking me questions. He was like, stop it. But like, I find that that's, you know, things that I know that like connect and resonate with other people, I love to share.
Next question. We did not touch on this, but do you have any thoughts on paid advertising on Instagram? Do you think it's worth it? Have you done it before?
I don't know. I've done it before and I didn't really see it do very much for me.
Same.
I don't know if it works for our industry. I think it works better for like high volume purchasing. If you have a product,
If
I
it's
think it
correct,
works.
I would totally agree with that. I think it works really well for, well, just think of it as yourself. Say like I'm a bride, or no, I'm dating someone, and I'm scrolling through and an ad pops up about a wedding photographer. Well, that's not pertinent to me right this second. Like, yeah, it might be, I might get engaged tomorrow and it might be helpful for me tomorrow, but right in this second, as
It's
an
not
ad,
doing anything.
it's not helpful for me. And I have never purchased from an ad unless I was like specifically looking for like a gray dress or something, and a gray dress popped up. Then I was like, yep, that's what I needed. I needed that today.
I think I agree because I just focus on what works for me with the advertising. And the only thing I've ever purchased when it comes to advertising is presets. So if you are selling presets,
So I'll try and sell some presets to you at some point.
I'll just buy them. But I would say presets and then also clothing, like things like if I'm going on vacation and all of a sudden like a bathing suit advertisement pops up and I'm looking like perfect or, you know, so I will buy something that I'm looking for that's like an easy buy. But something where I have to make some like heavier decisions and like weigh out some options, it's just, I think like advertisements are really good for like more emotional buys. So if you are a professional who is offering courses, presets, like a product, like a
Products.
download, or something that is passive, I think that advertising would probably be really great for you. And I actually think I have some links from some creatives who have done courses on like very like small, easy courses, like ebooks for paid advertising. Let me see if I can find them. I have one for Pinterest. I have a couple. I think I have another one for Instagram.
I don't know about Facebook, but I can find those and maybe link those in the blog post we're doing.
No, I would definitely agree with you on that. All right, we have another one that says with presets, they alter photos, of course. Do you feel you'll get kickback from photographers with the post? So I think they might have just misunderstood what you were saying because you're not posting those on the photographer's photos. You're posting those on
No.
your photos.
Okay, this is a good point. I should have made this disclaimer. So when I use a preset, guys, I use them on my own photos that I take that are not professional photos. So if I get a professional photo, so my goal with my presets is actually to make sure that the photos that I take with my own camera or my own phone end up meshing well with the professional photos that my photographers are taking and allowing me, like, so graciously allowing me to have, graciously, generously is what I meant, allowing me to have so that I can showcase my work on Instagram. So when I use presets, I'm using those to make sure that the photos that I take end up looking very cohesive and beautiful in my feed and very much on brand. I don't apply them to a photographer's work. I don't alter a photographer's work ever. And you shouldn't. That's like a whole nother thing, but yeah. Don't alter photographers unless they tell you it's okay. Like if they say to you, like if they took photos for you and are allowing you to edit them for some reason, that's fine. But otherwise you should always assume you shouldn't edit them at all.
Agree. Agree. All right. Well, I don't see any other questions. Last call for questions.
I don't think so. So guys, if you were watching the last live before we got cut off and came back in, we are going to do a blog post for you. That is going to go through, we chatted about it here in the live, but we're going to go through our step-by-step how we curate our feed to make it cohesive. And we'll link some of our apps that we use, some of our favorite presets. We'll show you actual examples. I'm excited for the post because I think it's going to be really helpful.
Yeah, I think maybe we
And
could
we'll
even do
let you
like a
know.
list. Yeah, we could do like a list of different ideas for stories as far as, like different things that you can post about. And then maybe just even like some content ideas as far as like your actual feed goes.
Yes, you have a really good list of content ideas that you had shared with me that I thought was really super helpful. So we could do that. If you are looking for a deeper dive and you are looking to have a more specific strategy for your Instagram created, let us know. So I offer mentorships for industry professionals who are looking for, like, I have a myriad of topics that I talk about, but one of my most popular ones is Instagram strategy and growth for industry pros. So if you are interested in creating something that is more specific to your Instagram account and your ideal clients, feel free to reach out to me at carrie@alwaysyoursevents.com via email, and I can send you information on that if you're interested. And then Jamie, I bet you photographers too would want to mentor with you on it because you have a really good procedure.
So I haven't started like a one-on-one mentorship anything yet. One thing that I had mentioned that before that I just put out is a flat lay course. It's free. The videos are just on my IGTV. And then if you share like one of the videos on like your feed or on your stories, I'll send you a Google Drive link that just has a bunch more information. It shows like different flat lays that I've shot, and then it kind of breaks them down why I've put certain props in. It also has a list of different like reusable props that I always keep on hand for when I'm styling flat lays. So yeah, you can check out all that on
Awesome.
my Instagram TV.
Yay. Well, thank you guys so much
Yeah, thanks, guys.
for joining us today. You can keep watching this on Jamie's story for 24 hours.
Yeah, I'll save it too and then probably put it in IGTV if you're cool with that.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
cool.
So Jamie will save and put it up in IGTV. And so you can always go back and rewatch, and then we'll let you know when the blog post that we'll follow up with is live.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, everyone.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Enjoy quarantine life. Don't go
Yeah.
out.
Go have a cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Bye.
Bye, friends.